This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Banner 18 Day is here, and this is KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. John, tell me you don't feel the goosebumps all over again from early this summer. We were on right after that game for six straight hours here on WEEI, and just the excitement that all culminates into tonight, where history will be made. The all-time winningest franchise in NBA history will go down officially tonight as the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, KJ. It was an awesome memory from earlier this summer. And just looking back on last year's Celtics team, one of, I think, the most enjoyable teams of my lifetime from start to finish. And I know there were questions going into last year. Remember, they had lost to Miami in that crushing Game 7 where Tatum rolled his ankle. Jaylen Brown didn't play well in that game. And then they come into the year with Porzingis, with Holiday, right, kind of a revamped lineup. But essentially from opening night against the Knicks last year where they, let's not forget, finally executed well down the stretch and won a clutch game on opening night, you kind of felt right from then it was different. And then they started rolling through teams. They were, as Mike Breen said, the best team in basketball all year. Just such an enjoyable and fun playoff run. I mean, it's awesome to see them raising the banner tonight. It was an awesome season last year. And it's just, again, a really fun team, a likable team, but above all, from top to bottom, a truly great team that's been a joy to watch over the past year.
Now, in true professional way of thinking, the whole celebration of putting up 18 ends at about 7:30 tonight. And that, watch, it's a whole new season. But I think about how much this team had made adjustments over the years. Some that didn't work. The team almost broken up. You almost thought that Kyrie wanted to see one of the young Jays go in exchange for Kevin Durant to come, and how that didn't work. Danny Ainge leaving. And then, oh, by the way, happy birthday, Brad Stevens, right? He steps upstairs. The term at the time I used here was fire-moded because you're trying to figure out what was going on. But it just felt like last year, especially after losing to Golden State a couple years before, where you felt like the Celtics team was more athletic, but that Golden State team from 22 was just so much more playoff intelligent than probably any team in the league, that while 23 was a disappointment, you felt like, okay, this year, if they just make one kind of small move, and they did that, which I thought was Porzingis, because it was really about getting the rim protection. It wasn't about finding his offense or anything like that. It was just like, if they could get someone that could rim protect and give Al a breather, I think this team could be able to do some things. And that's what I think made last year so special, is all the heartbreaks and promises that went on beforehand, and all the different players that were brought in, and some kind of messed up the ecosystem. Yeah, the Gordon Hayward deal kind of messed the ecosystem. Remember, at one point, Jaylen Brown was coming off the bench.
Yep.
So all those things that had gone on for the years before, or seeing Kyrie with his legs crossed in Game 7 when you've got a lot of young guys trying to beat LeBron.
He didn't go to that game.
Well, there were some games
that he had to get a nose job. True story.
The point being is that, you know, the person who's supposed to help lead this team to the next, he's not there. So all those things happen, I think, make tonight so much more special for this team, especially for the two Jays who've been there. They've seen a lot in a relatively short amount of time. You would almost feel like, if you, as someone who didn't know anything about basketball, like, how long do you think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been with this team? You'd probably say, at least 10, 12 years. It hasn't been that long, but it just feels like they've gone through so many things. To see that banner go up is going to be so key as the story moves forward.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things I think about tonight, in that it's been 16 years since their last championship, but this particular championship was really 11 years in the making. It was summer of 2013 where they trade Pearson Garnett, they hire Brad Stevens as head coach. Obviously, they had to wait a few years for those Brooklyn picks to become Tatum and Brown. They had Marcus Smart there early in that process. He was a 2014 draft pick. And then, so a few years go by, you get to the conference finals, you don't get over the hump in the bubble. You get to the finals, you lose. Then your coach leaves under scandal. You get Missoula, you lose. Right, you lose again into the conference finals. Then you trade Smart. Like, so there were so many things along the way that, especially, like, I look at Tatum and Brown specifically, that those guys had to persevere through. Right, all those things I just mentioned, you have the weight of expectations where, you know, you're the Brooklyn picks. You're supposed to be the new guys to follow Pierce and Garnett and those guys that won that championship. Then you have Gordon Hayward breaking his leg on opening night. You have the Kyrie thing not working out, the Udoka thing not working out, Smart getting traded. And I think it's just a testament to those guys that they were able to persevere through, and not just persevere through, but I think you can agree, KJ, they've gotten better every year they've been in the league. I mean, look at Jaylen Brown from the start of his career to where he was in the finals, winning finals MVP. I mean, it's almost like a different guy he had come so far. And, of course, Tatum had progressed and refined his game so much from the time he was a young player. So a banner night is obviously about everybody, but I'm really thinking, too, about the perseverance of those two guys and obviously all the great moves Brad Stevens pulled off.
Well, I would say probably the biggest move of all of them is Brad Stevens. Recognizing that you're on the verge of losing the team. I remember there was a series in Cleveland. It just seemed like they were checked out with Brad. And for Brad to be able to step away, because usually in the NBA, either the coach gets fired and they're completely removed from the situation, or a player saying, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. It seems like Brad Stevens stepped out of that situation and then asked the players, asked the stars, who would you like to see in here as the coach, and acquiesced and got MA in here. And I think Brad deserves so much in terms of, it takes a lot to step away, almost really kind of fire yourself, but then upper management as well, still supporting Brad and saying, look, we love the vision, even if you're at that touch point where you're not really cutting through with the guys, because it did get to that point. I think back to the bubble at halftime against Miami, where, because everything is so quiet there, you can hear pretty much a shouting match going on in the locker room. And you're like, wow, where is this heading down the road? Trading Marcus Smart, while that's a very emotional thing, it was the perfect business move. And so being able to do those and make those things happen, a lot of it is Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens probably should have like a little BS put up there on that thing, the little corner of it, because him making very tough decisions about a team that was getting into a tough area, he held through.
Yeah, and I think, and not to jinx it here, KJ, because we're on opening night, but we're still
talking about,
but I feel like up to this point, every major move Brad Stevens has made has worked out really well. I mean, outside of the Udoka scandal, I guess.
Remember the talk that he was going to go back to Indiana and coach the Hoosiers?
Oh, yeah. And there was, I think, a lot of questions. And let's be fair, questions at the time he was promoted. Is he going to be good at this president of basketball op jobs? He hadn't really done it before. He was, you know, a good coach, but he hadn't done that job before. I think there was a lot of people that were like, I don't know, is he going to be able to do this? And think about it. He brings in Derek White, which has been an A-plus move, hires Udoka, who got them to the finals, and then, of course, he leaves in scandal, which I don't think is really Brad's fault, but he leaves in scandal, and the next guy up is Missoula, who has grown into a great coach. You win a finals with him, but then you acquire Porzingis, and you're willing to trade Marcus Smart to do it, whereas before you were going to trade Brogdon, another guy who Brad also acquired that won Sixth Man of the Year, people forget, but you trade Smart to do it. Then you also maneuver your way to get Drew Holiday. And then at the deadline, when you didn't really need much, he found Xavier Tillman, who was valuable once Porzingis got hurt in the playoffs, hit that big shot in Game 3 of the finals down in Dallas. I mean, it feels like every major move Brad Stevens has made has worked out perfectly. And part of that is the greatness of Tatum and Brown, right? A lot of guys will fit with them. But it just feels like Porzingis especially, that he's such a unique player, and to be able to get him
before this, he was a dud for the most part until the last days in Dallas.
He was good his last year in Washington. I think he was a good player on a bad team, and he wasn't maybe cut out to be the number one option on a team, but Brad saw it as he's going to come here and be the number three, maybe on some nights even the four, and it's going to fit seamlessly because of the balance in his game. And it just fit perfectly. And then, of course, the Holiday thing. It's one thing for us to say, hey, the Bucks screwed up and they made Holiday available, but the Celtics still had to maneuver the way to actually get him, right? They weren't the only team trying to get him, and they found a way to get him. So I think, you know, again, I think about the perseverance of Tatum and Brown over the years. I also a huge amount of credit to Brad Stevens and also KJ. You know, I mean, we work in the media here. You know how the media market can be here, and sometimes the fans can be around here. There's a lot of impatience, right? And there's a lot of folks who would have traded Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard or would have traded Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant. And I'm not saying those would have been terrible moves, but now you have both of these guys. You just won a championship, and your team is still loaded because they were willing to do the tough thing and have some patience.
Here's, and this may be a bit controversial, but I think it does play into this. So imagine if Ime Udoka doesn't want Joe Mazzulla around, right? He keeps him around.
Because he was Brad's guy.
Right. He was Brad's guy, but he keeps him around. If he's not kept around, I don't know where this team would be. Think about it. Joe Mazzulla is only 10 years older than his two superstars. 10 years older. That is almost like, I mean, when you get to like cousins and families and stuff like that, you're a grandpa at 35. But to be only 10 years older than your superstars and for the superstars to take, I think MA kind of set up a little bit of that environment where it's kind of like nobody's bigger than the task at hand. He was able to get them to focus more on their defense and not get caught up on their offense. Joe Mazzulla was able to kind of, was in his own words, be himself of the reflection of what the team started to do once MA got here 21, 22, and then 22 and 23 when Joe takes over and so forth. So I think you've got a situation where even some of the things that were kind of disastrous in the last 3 years ended up happening for the greater benefit of the good of why we're here tonight, right? Like, think about it. If Joe Mazzulla wasn't kept around, let's say he goes to another staff. Is he the guy that becomes the head coach for the Celtics?
No. And I think another piece, too, and I give Brad credit for this, and I also give Mazzulla credit for this. After they lost to the Heat, they bring in Sam Cassell. They bring in Jeff Van Gundy to their front office. These veteran voices around Joe Mazzulla.
What if Damon Stoudemire doesn't go to Georgia Tech?
Right. Like that he could lean on. And because Sam Cassell, I think you can agree, he should be a head coach in the NBA. I mean, he's more than qualified. And I think Jeff Van Gundy, if he really wanted to, probably could be a head coach again, too. But these are voices, and I know at the time, some people looked at it and said, oh, these guys are Mazzulla insurance, and they're going to be there to step in if this team fails early last year. And instead of looking at it from an adversarial standpoint, Mazzulla embraced those guys, was able to lean on those guys, and I think we saw... Like, I think there was a lot of growth in Mazzulla from the time they lost to Miami till the time they beat Dallas just over a year later. I think just as a coach, I mean, his personality was similar, but I think, you know, we all harped on the timeout usage, right? Like, I think something like that improved. I think his rotations improved, pushing the right buttons improved. Even something kind of as, I don't want to say simple, but something as specific as using Peyton Pritchard for those half-court shots. And he hits two of them in the playoffs, including Game 5 against Dallas. So, like, there was a huge lift. So, I think...
Or how about taking a team that was the NBA Finals runner-up and start coaching the team a couple days before the season starts.
5 days before the training
camp. So, that's why I say, you know, all these things that went awry in the 2.5-3 year period, Marcus Smart mixed in there as well, all that worked for the greater good. You almost say if you changed any one of those pieces, I don't know if you're necessarily here. You know, so that's the other part. Like, what if Malcolm Brogdon doesn't have the tendon situation, right? Like, what if Robert Williams doesn't get hurt? What if he recovers from the microfracture that he has? So all these different things that occurred, and a lot of them you would say, oh man, they just can't catch a break, and that was happening for some years. It's like, It happened, and now the conversation is they can only beat themselves. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We are celebrating Banner 18 Day here on KJ and Lions. Right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. It is finally here. Banner 18 will rise to the rafters of the TD Garden as the Celtics open up the 2024 season facing off with the New York Knicks. It'll be a clean bill of health for the Seas besides Kristaps Porzingis, who is recovering from off-season foot surgery. Celtics and Knicks set to tip off from the Garden at 7:30. Bruins wrapping up a three-game road trip tonight in Nashville, taking on the Predators. Bees have yet to name a starting goalie for tonight, but it is expected to be Jeremy Swayman in net. Puck drop from Bridgestone Arena set for 8:45. Lakers and T-Wolves also squaring off in the second leg of the NBA season opener. Tip-off of that one following the Celtics-Knicks, currently set for 10 p.m. Finally, according to ESPN's Diana Russini, the Los Angeles Rams are open to trading star wide receiver Cooper Kupp. The team is reportedly looking for a second-round pick in return. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, Banner 18 Day in Boston, throughout New England, and for all of the Celtics lovers across. I cannot wait to see that Lakers game, to see some people with Celtics jerseys on. Just putting up a banner, like a fake banner, just to make fun of the Lakers. That would be so great.
You know what's crazy, too? It's like, so we just played the cut of Brown hitting that shot to send game one of the Eastern Conference Finals to overtime. Then, of course, Tatum had a couple huge buckets, including an and one in the overtime of that game. So many iconic moments for the two of them throughout that playoff run, which I think was really cool. I mean, I think back to Brown's shot at the end of game three when it was a two-point game. Remember, the Mavs had come all the way back. Celtics had been up, I think, by 21 or 22. Brown hits that shot to put
them
up.
You're about to eat your entire lunch here within the next 2 minutes, aren't you?
Like, it's just, I think all the icon. I mean, we could sit here for 20 minutes and go through all the iconic moments of that postseason, but it's just, especially for the two of them, I think it was another really cool part of all this.
Another cool part of it is Arcan and Hart got to be over at Big Night Live. Have you ever been to Big Night Live, John?
No, I'm not famous enough to broadcast from there.
Oh, my God. Shout out to my guy, Joe Mazzy, man. Joe Mazzy is just an absolute godsend. Big Night Live.
Maybe I'll get more famous and broadcast from there.
Well, no, here's the thing, man. Joe is such a great guy. I mean, shout out to B&EG Group, man. They have just got a line of products that are impressive. And Big Night Live, I got to go. Okay, John, okay, this is going to be a little humble flex, but I got to go. I got invited to come like in the first couple of weeks of opening.
Brag.
So, yeah, that's a humble brag right there. I mean,
that must have been one of the nights when it was just the Lions show without the KJ Lions show.
No. I'm just saying, stick with me and we might end up in, are you an arcade? We're a video games guy. Like, I'll tell you that off the air because I don't want this to turn into a commercial. But, bro, I got a spot. And let me tell you, everything we're thinking of, this could be the. Shout out to Joe. Great job by Arcan and Hart at Big Night Live earlier today, right there at the Garden, getting ready for the raising of Banner 18. You know, some of the conversation, though, John, you heard that, obviously you mentioned the play from Indiana, is that it wasn't supposed to be Indiana in that series. Some people believed it was supposed to be the Knicks. Others believed it was supposed to be Milwaukee. You felt like in that Milwaukee series, they were like, they'll eventually catch up and run them down, and they didn't. The Knicks, they had the injury. Remember, Brunson ended up getting hurt.
They felt like half their guys were
hurt. Right, half their guys were out. And so there's a feeling in New York, like if our guys didn't get worn out by the Thibodeau method, right? Because I don't think, how's that change? I don't think he's going to suddenly say, hey, guys, I'm going to give you a day off. No, they're going to break down at the end of the season. It's just the way he does his players. But there's that feeling of, well, you know what? They didn't get the best of the Eastern Conference to get to the NBA Finals. And then when they got to the NBA Finals, they didn't see a 1, 2, or 3 seed. They saw a 4, 5 seed. So they saw the 5 seed when they won the championship. It feels like the Celtics, I don't want to say, obviously you want them to win it again this year, but they've got to win it again either this year or next year for people to respect this one. If you're looking from a histrionomic standpoint, like my favorite Celtics championship is the 80-81 season where they beat the Rockets. And the reason for it was because, A, it stopped the Lakers from winning 2 in a row. That's one. And then two, it begins the series of Philadelphia now recovers and they start throwing things at the Celtics. Here come the Pistons are going to start developing themselves. Milwaukee, everything you know about how the NBA got great, Jordan starts to come. It really starts with that 80-81 team that wins it because now you've got dogfights going on over the next 10 years, And it's kind of the beginning of everything that you know about great about the Celtics, like the trade for Parrish. I'm really going down a rabbit hole here in history. But you get Parrish from Golden State. They draft Joe Barely Cares. It's the steal of the century, right? He comes. He becomes a Hall of Famer because of his Celtics career. He doesn't have to go up against Kareem before getting to the finals. So like that 80-81 team, that's the shirt I have on right now, by the way, is the team that I think really sets it off for everything that we like modernly, like in color, right? Everything before that. The 76 team, that was a great team as well. 74 was a surprise. So I think although setting those things up, this may be the championship in the lineage of the Celtics championships that people will go, but who did they beat to get there? You think they've got to win within the next 2 years, or at least one more to kind of nullify some of that?
Well, it's an interesting cross-sport comparison to me, kind of like when the 2003 Patriots won that second Super Bowl. So then all the people were like, oh, 01 was a fluke. They had one great game, you know, the Tuck rule, this and that. It kind of validated. And we all around here knew how great they were. But nationally, I think it validated, oh, no, these guys are the real deal. And I think for the Celtics, there's people nationally who I think just love to disrespect the Celtics and they want New York and L.A. to be good. That's a whole nother discussion. But I think there are people that say, well, you played Miami, Jimmy Butler, you know, wasn't there. You play Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell goes out. You play Indiana, Tyrese Halliburton doesn't finish the series. And then you play the Mavs, who were fully loaded, but it wasn't big, bad, and scary Denver or OKC.
Right, it's the five-seed Mavs.
Right. So I think there are people nationally that look at the Celtics and say, yes, they were great, but they took advantage of an easy path and still question whether they would have beaten a fully healthy Milwaukee or a fully healthy Denver. Now, I personally think they would have, but I think there are a lot of people nationally that question that. So it's funny because if you look over the last few years, right, the fall of 2021, everybody's worshiping the Milwaukee Bucks, right? Oh, they're the next dynasty. Here they come. Fall of 22, hey, the Warriors still got it. They won again. Fall of 23, hey, Denver, they're the next dynasty. They're going to be great. But in the fall of 2024, we don't really hear that talk. I mean, there's a lot of people saying, hey, we think the Celtics can repeat. But there's also people saying, well, I don't know if they're quite as great as they showed last year. Or we don't know if they're going to be a dynasty. Maybe it's a two-year thing, right? And part of it's the ownership stuff and all that, too. But I think this Celtics team, more than any recent champion, has more of a chip on their shoulder because I don't think they've gotten quite enough recognition over the course of the summer at a national level.
Well, I think the other part of it is, and you mentioned it briefly there, is the money on the books, right? This is one of those rare times that you see in sports where the ownership has said, yes, we will pay for that. Yes, we will pay for that. Yes, we will pay for that. And then when they win it, we will pay for all of that. So that's what I think some teams are waiting to see what happens. And it's celebrate right now. Yes, this is what everything today is about, is celebrating what was achieved. Being the all-time winningest NBA champions, passing now the Lakers, that this is what today is about, but the conversations moving forward are going to be about whoever is the new owner coming in. Are they willing to sustain the price tag of this team? Are they willing to go forward? That's why I think an international investor probably says money's no object if that means that this can be the official team of said country they're in. I mean, I think probably somewhere in the Middle East, one of the Arab states, one of those, I think that's probably who's going to be the next owner of the Celtics and then really promote the Celtics as an international basketball team, which isn't a bad thing at all, but also allows for the Celtics to really be able to be paid for. And it's going to force the American media to catch up, which I think is obviously lagging behind. We'll get to that in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and you look at over the course of the summer, right? What were the talking points regarding the NBA? It was Jaylen Brown not making the Olympic team, Tatum getting benched on the Olympic team, the Knicks making their multiple trades, right? Bridges and then Towns. It was, hey, is Anthony Edwards going to be the next face of the NBA? Bronny James getting drafted with LeBron. Like, it was not anything like the last few summers where the, and I'm not saying the Celtics were completely disrespected, but it was not like previous summers where the champion was celebrated for a couple months. It was, hey, they had a great season. We have questions, though. Did they really have the toughest road? And, oh, by the way, the Knicks are making these trades. Oh, Paul George is going to the Sixers. Oh, Tatum's getting benched in the Olympics. And I think that feeds into, I think the Celtics are going to come out this year, and I don't know if they're going to come out and go 27-2 like the 08-09 team did, because Porzingis isn't going to be there the first few months, but they're going to come out, and especially once they get fully healthy with Porzingis in December or January, I think they're going to start lighting teams up, and they're going to be doing it with intensity to show the rest of the league how great they are.
Well, I think what the thing they now know, and the Golden State Warriors can tell you this as well, is no season, no NBA championships are won during the regular season. So I think, I don't care if they don't go on a hot run. I'm not going to lose my face if, you know, it seems that, because I think there are players on this team that they've got to figure out how can they perform at a higher level than what they've been expected to. I'm talking about your Cornets. I'm talking about your Pritchards. I'm talking about your Housers. I'm talking about your Tillmans. Those guys are going to have to show, because if you're going to say this is going to be your core of your, this is going to be part of your bench going into the NBA playoffs where other teams have made moves, you got to watch out what Milwaukee might do. Like, there are different things that teams might do that you say, we got to know that at least these four guys are ready for primetime action when it comes to the playoffs, more than just simple moments, but now taking it even further to where you can actively contribute when you step on the court. So that's what I think really this regular season is more so about, is staying healthy and getting some of these fringe players to be at a quality, level that's going to be able to say that we don't feel like we have to make any moves come February. So that's what I think is the main thing.
And I think also, like you mentioned, some of the, like, I look at Xavier Tillman, right? Big part of that, because he had some limited moments last year. He had that big shot against Dallas in game three, but he's going to play more this first half of the season with Porzingis out. Can he fill that role well? Because that's something that maybe come late in the season, playoff time, you can give him some of those minutes with Horford being 38. And Cornette, I think, is, as we saw in last year's playoffs, he was really good early in the playoffs. Against Indiana, he almost wasn't playable because he's kind of a matchup-dependent type big. So can some of those guys, to your point, can Peyton Pritchard carve out a little bit of a bigger role, especially now that, you know, depending on their lineups, there might be some nights that they sit Jrue Holiday, right? He's in his mid-30s, so Pritchard will have more run. Can he carve out more of a role? Same thing with Sam Hauser, because, I mean, the Celtics, which, and I don't have the full history in front of me, but they're returning their top nine guys in minutes from a year ago. That's
almost unheard of.
That's almost unprecedented.
I mean, without
right?
even trying to be, you know, yeah. Mr. Super Stat Ass.
No, but
I mean,
really,
it's just like it just doesn't happen.
Right, yeah, because every NBA champion loses guys, right? Whether it's Bruce Brown on the Nuggets, Gary Payton on the Warriors a couple of years ago, like every NBA champion loses guys. They're returning their top nine guys in minutes. So I agree. I think it's mostly about, can you stay healthy until the playoffs, and can some of those other guys just carve out roles for themselves while Porzingis is out and Holiday is sitting, so you can get through the regular season and be in a position that, you know, you have home court advantage and you're ready to go for the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's one of those where you now take that Golden State Warriors playbook where you go from, okay, you make it, you then win the championship, and then you become the higher, then you become the all eyes on me team, right? If you look at the price difference between when the Warriors come here, even in its lean years, just to see the Warriors in his accelerated ticket, that's now going to be the Celtics. So when the Celtics are going on the road, this is going to be, you're going to get the best shot. Now, I don't know how many of those teams in the East really exist. Maybe three. I would probably say Philadelphia, and that's a question we would get into later. Yeah. Milwaukee, and then you would say the Knicks.
And I guess you could throw the Pacers in there, because ironically, even though it was a sweep, I think that was their toughest series.
The Pacers would be the four games were one possession. That would have the most energy when the Celtics show up, right? Because that's the ones who lost to the Celtics, and the way they lost to the Celtics last year, they feel like, hey, if we had Halliburton, we gave them their toughest series of all their series. So they feel like they have something, plus it's small market, so they're going to get up. It's going to be the big, big bad wolf coming to town, the big old Celtics coming to town, where with the 76ers, you might show up there and it's like, Embiid may not play tonight because they played last night. So the Celtics are going to now start to figure out what guys are going to get that night off when they go on the road. Where do you pick your spots? Do you run Pritchard, like you said, a little more when you're giving Jrue Holiday reduced or no minutes? You're just like, he's got the day off. Or do you lean on Derek White a little more and then you rotate in other guys? So I don't think you'll see less of Tatum or Brown. That's not going to be the case. They still have the engine to go. But as you mentioned, Porzingis is up there in years and is going to be out through December. And even coming back, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that he's going to be fully healthy and ready to go 100%. He's had an issue with tweaking things, because that's exactly what happened last year in the playoffs, right? He comes back and then tweaks it again, and then he's out for an extended period of time. So that's something you have to keep your eye on as they move forward into the season. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937, celebrating Banner 18 Day here in Boston. Celtics about to raise it to the rafters. And John, just thinking back to that night first, what Zach, wasn't that the first night you worked with us?
No, it was someone's first night, but
it was Jacob's
night. It was his first like full show, though, and he got 6 hours Jacob, of us.
Right, because Jacob drank a bunch of Red Bull that night, and I was just like, bro, that's the wrong thing to drink for that. And gosh, man, people were calling until 4 a.m. just celebrating. And it's amazing when the amount of years that have gone between 08 and now is a lot of time. And it feels like there was some level of patience getting to there. And I think because you had the homegrown stars, and I think that's so key, is because Tatum, think about it. You ever see the meme where the Lakers in their two picks were right, could have both had Tatum and Brown.
Ingram and Lonzo Ball.
And instead took Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and now what they're doing tonight is pretty much a circus act.
They did get a championship out of it, in fairness.
Bro, in a bubble?
They used Ingram to trade for Anthony Davis. So.
Yeah, but you know,
the Celtics are much better set up because of that.
Well, here's the other thing about the bubble championship. Yeah, who was the away crowd?
I count that though. I mean, every team had to deal with the same thing.
Yeah, every team got to deal with silence.
Yeah, the Celtics had to deal with it, and they folded in the bubble.
They had more noise in their locker room.
No, same thing. Yeah. Like I give the Tampa Bay Lightning credit for that Stanley Cup.
If the Celtics or Bruins win, then it's a legitimate championship. Or if the Red Sox won, you. But everyone else won, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, thank you. One for me. One for you.
See,
one
I'm
two
fair.
For me.
That's
two
the
for
difference
you.
Here.
One two three for me.
I am a fair, rational person,
bro. You have a little Homer Simpson in you. You do.
But I'm the one giving credit to the Lakers.
That's what's crazy about that, because this is the situation, because you would say, okay.
Fair.
No, going back to that, if you're like LeBron and AD, you need a stacked roster to go win inside of a school, inside of a Disney gym?
But I think
that's embarrassing.
But I think either way, right? So the Lakers got their championship first with that group, but I think the Celtics, all right, so they've already matched
it. They were the young kids still there.
Right, well, they've already matched it and won one, and which team is much better set up for the future? It's not even close. Against the Celtics.
What, you mean Bronny's not the future of the Lakers?
No. And LeBron might play, one or two more years?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I guess I get to this. And this is why I don't even... I don't even. This is what kind of aggravates
LeBron
me about...
LeBron is still good, by the way.
No, I get LeBron is still good. Look, I totally get it. But now it's like, all right, you're only the national game tonight. Like, then the other national game should be T-Wolves-Denver. T-Wolves-Denver, at least, you know? Like, give us something
that's
more... Yeah,
you should have a marquee out west matchup.
You should have a marquee... You're talking about...
Like the Mavs, the other team that played in the finals, they should be playing tonight.
Yeah, it should be them T-Wolves or something like that.
I hear you.
That series was really entertaining, the T-Wolves-Mavs.
Do you think... I hope that the T-Wolves are up by 15 at the start of the second quarter, because then it's really going to expose the whole circus act. Dun 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 dun. So you're going to put some guy in who can't contribute in the game, you're down 15? Like, it is not about the game. You might as well just sell circus peanuts to every Laker game with LeBron and Bronny there. It's like, have you seen the video that's already come out about, like, the first day at work where Bron pours the cereal in Bron's car? Like, bro, you're leaving from the same house. Like, this is a whole nother conversation. Like, how many men in the NBA live at home with their parents?
That's a great question.
You see what I'm saying?
Maybe just him. I don't. It's a good question.
Like, it'd have been funnier if you'd gone over to his apartment and Bronny's got like a couple of girls leaving out, like, dad, you know, like, hey, don't be late. It's funny. But like, literally, the dude was just in his bedroom. That's been his bedroom for the last 15 to 20 years. Like, that's what chaps my hide. We'll get to it at 7 o'clock of like, why is this whole ignoring the Celtics? Like, for God's sakes, there have been only 3 major market NBA champions in the last 10 years. Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And we're worried about some Lakers who's playing Lakers against Minnesota? I got to get on that. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Thank you for hanging out with KJ and Lyons. Professor Lyons is next on WEEI.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lions are bigly on sports. Read my lips. KJ and Lions are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lions work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lions. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
This is KJ and Lions on WEEI.
KJ and Lions. WEEI. Banner 18 Day. One of the best days in Boston sports history, for sure. For sure. Historic. You almost have to say, man, you cannot foresee the Lakers catching. By the time they try and even make a run to catch the Lakers, the Celtics could be at Banner 21. I mean, this is why I think this is such a big day, because this may be the point where the tortoise looks at the hare back, turns around and looks at the hare, like you thought you got here, and you just didn't. Too slow? Too slow. I'm so happy, John. I'm so happy.
Yeah, and I think it's a cool thing for the city, too, because you look at the sports landscape around here.
It sucks right now.
Patriots are bad. Red Sox have potential to be good, but there's still a lot of apathy there, and they missed the playoffs again. The Bruins are good, but they've still fallen short the last few years.
They are the boy who cried wolf.
So the Celtics are the one team that you know for last year, this year, and next year are legit top-tier championship contenders. And I think that's an exciting thing, too, for the city.
I also know it chaps some people's hides. Like, I can't stand NBA, bunch of whining guys. But it's the only thing winning. Oh, God, I know. I guess I'm going to have to get my kid a
Tatum jersey. Yeah, but the thing is, the Celtics aren't like that. Like, there's some people that criticize, oh, load management, this and that. Like, Tatum and Brown play every night. Porzingis came back early from an injury to play in the finals.
There are some people who doesn't care a thing about the NBA.
Yeah, but
Tatum
that's not who we're talking
to right now
either.
Tatum actually made a point to say that he owes it to the fans that are buying tickets to go see him, that he wants to play.
Like, Embiid won't play back-to-backs, and other guys won't play every night. Kawhi Leonard never plays, but Tatum and Brown play.
This is not an indice on this team. This team,
but that's my point, is that even the people that get frustrated with that, that's not what this team is. This is what everything you would want in a team is what they are.
I bet you they bought him a Mac Jones jersey last year before they bought him a Tatum jersey. Now we're going to go with the Mac Jones jersey. Be like, bro, the guy's not winning. Okay, maybe tell him it's on for sale, and that's why you got it for him. Still to come, Professor Lyons, that's in about 2 minutes. Also, the narrative of the Celtics, I don't know if you've noticed the TNT national commercial to tip off the season, but there's not even a Celtic standing in the tip-off circle, and in fact, it's before you get to a Celtic, you hear three other voices beforehand. We'll get to that, plus what does the NBA shakeout and look like before we get the tip-off at 7:30? Not here, but, you know. After that, John and I, we're going to have to really make sure we're not doing play-by-play while the game is on, even though we'll be watching the game. We just can't say, oh, and get that shot by so-and-so. We, at halftime, we'll definitely pick back up the conversation of how the team looks and so forth. 37937, Zach, what do you have on the text line?
One texter wants to show some love to Isaiah Thomas. He carried the team for a couple years and really brought the fun back to the Garden.
Yeah, that's very true. If
those were fun years. Like, well, and I know this, I think we looked at those Celtics teams as they're not going to win a championship, but they played hard, they were fun, they were entertaining, and you could at least see the progress of a guy like Jaylen Brown, the ITs last year. And so, yeah, I mean, those were fun years. I'll give them that.
You almost have to say, what happens if he does get that max deal that he wanted to get, even though the hip situation was going on? I think the team development probably changes a little bit because it is based in the backcourt, and I don't know if we'd be having the same conversation in positive light about Isaiah Thomas trying to move that deal. So moving that deal, credit Danny Ainge for moving that, making that happen. Yeah, you get Kyrie, but then you're able to get off of that money completely and kind of get you another reset to get some other people in.
We didn't
even
mention Kemba Walker not working out. I forgot about that, to be honest. But that's another thing. Again, these guys persevered through.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is usually a 30 for 30 of a team that didn't get it done. 37937. What you got on the text line, Zach?
One texter called the NBA soft. When did being tough and outlasting competition become a bad thing? Play 82 games. Thibodeau running guys into the ground is foolish talk.
I mean, it does happen every year.
Yeah, until it's your guys. Yeah. I mean,
Did you see Kevin Garnett talking about Embiid? Well, we can't play it because there's a bunch of F-bombs in there, but that was awesome. Well, if you haven't seen it, listen to it.
Well, I get, but here's the other part of it is, Okay, so at your job, you don't get days off?
Yeah, but I mean, saying I'm not going to play any back-to-backs, like, come on, dude.
Well, that's okay. If you're Joel Embiid, you probably could demand that, and if they're willing to give it to you, I'm not.
Yeah, but it's not about whether he can get it. I mean, what does that say about you as a competitor and your team?
Are you going to tell me that? No, look, as much as I clown Philly, you're not going to tell me Joel Embiid is not a competitor.
He's an elite player, but is it a coincidence they lose in the second round every year?
Hello, the guy has been run through. The guy is oft injured because they run everything through him. When you're 7'4", you shouldn't do some of the things he does.
The team that doesn't want to play Embiid and hitch their wagon to James Harden for a few years, like, I don't think it's a coincidence
the Celtics have made mistakes. They hitched their wagon to Kyrie Irving at one point.
Did we ever question the Celtics wanting to be out there and everything? Like, we questioned James Harden on that, and I think at times Embiid too.
I don't question Joel Embiid being out there.
And he's an elite player, don't get me wrong.
Well, here's the thing. Is his body designed? Because here's the thing. Jokic is going to find himself in this situation after some time. It's just that Jokic is just the thicker body. But Joel Embiid, there's no way you could ever have me question his competitiveness. I mean, damn, look at the Olympics. Look what he pulled off at the Olympics in those last couple of games. So, I mean, I could never say that Joel Embiid is not a great competitor. Does he have upper management that has made bad decisions around him? Absolutely. I mean, they thought that Tobias Harris was an answer. Like, that could have long been settled.
He
did want Jimmy Butler to stay, but they didn't.
Jimmy Butler would have worked well with Embiid.
Oh, he would have.
Jimmy doesn't put up with that.
No. Him and the two of them are the closest of close because they know at the end of the day, getting the job done. Look, I know we're in a competitive situation with Philly and New York and everything, but I'm not going to sit there and say Joel Embiid is not a hard, does not go hard.
I just think it's a bad look when you are coming out before I just think that's the convenient. Season saying you won't play any back-to-backs. I can understand load management with a guy of his size and injury history. I'm not disputing that. But to come out this early and, what, are you going to play 50 games ahead? I mean,
if you get to the playoffs, he doesn't have to play back-to-back, so he'll be in all of those.
Don't love it. Yeah, right. So
there you go. So it might as well take care of what needs to be taken care of than to have to deal with, you know, like, okay, so you're going to complain because I played against Minnesota last night but won't play against Orlando tonight? Like, there's a bigger fish to fry. One more text, and then we'll get to Professor Lyons.
One texter said it must have been hard for Stevens because he knows he's probably the best coach out of Ime himself and Missoula.
Yeah, but could he get the most out of his guys at that time?
Yeah,
Ime was the best guy.
Yeah, sorry, it's a style thing too, right? Like Ime's style was so different than Brad, and then that helped propel them over the top. That run they went on the second half of the year, I don't know if they do that with Brad. And maybe Missoula and Stevens are more similar, but yeah, I think it's just a style thing, and it's Stevens was the right style when they were younger.
Yep.
Ime helped push them, and Missoula is the right style now that they're established vets. I think it's just a style thing.
Yeah, Ime was able to kind of indirectly point out particular players in some of his comments. If Brad had done that when Ime was the coach, I think it would have been this spiral out of control situation. So I think there was things that Brad knew that he couldn't apply and use. I'm not saying that he would have done that Ime did because, if you're his choice, Ime was their choice in terms of, you know, especially Brown and Tatum, then you're going to be able to at least say what you want to say about these guys. And plus, credit Ime for having that relationship with Derek White when they were in San Antonio to see Derek White as a piece that they can go get. And what he is now, like Derek White is like the ultimate steal because this is a guy who's on nobody's radar playing on a nobody team, almost kind of getting like side minutes to now being a very important piece. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. All right, let's do Professor Lyons. Hit it.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Learning about Cuba. Having some food.
I'm John Kimball, the new kindergarten teacher.
Who still wants to make out with me in the middle of class?
I've got a hangover. Who knows what that means?
Doesn't that mean you're drunk?
No. It means I was drunk yesterday.
Ah, yes, the guy's intelligent. He's got two masters, but can KJ master Professor Lyons? Pause. Go!
All right, KJ, we've got five questions for you. First one. Patriots' third down defense is worse than their third down offense. We talked a lot about their defensive struggles. Is that true or false?
That's true. Their defense is like in the mid-20s, and their offense is like the high teens, early 20s.
It is true.
Professor!
Yeah!
Their defense is 29th on third down. Offense is 26th on third down.
Oh, those clothes.
Celtics tonight, we've been talking a lot about that this hour. They are returning their top nine players in minutes played. True or false?
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, true. I said that earlier. I want to
see you got to get away. If I don't pay attention to the bold letters, that's why you should have the Odyssey app. It's free. You missed any of the show, you too could win at Professor Lyons. Next.
Yes, that one is true. So there's been a lot of talk about the Celtics and how many threes they shoot, and they shot a bunch in the preseason.
Yeah.
True or false, last year, when they shot the same amount of threes or more than their opponent, they were 50-10.
50-10 if they shot the same amount of threes.
Or more
than their opponents. Yeah, because they played a lot of bad teams. And so some of those teams are going to have to chuck them up to shoot to catch up. I'm going to say yes.
So it's false.
Oh!
They were actually better. They were 54-7 when they shot the same amount of threes or more.
Stop lying!
Zach, I got to ask the producer. Is that kind of a little Bush League question there? Like, I'm thinking it's got to be either low or not. Okay, fine. I got it wrong.
I think that's fair game.
Oh, gosh.
Speaking of records, Porzingis is going to be out tonight. He's going to be out at least probably the first couple months. Last year, in 25 regular season games without Kristaps Porzingis, true or false, the Celtics were 21-4.
21-4 without Porzingis last year.
In the regular season.
In the regular season. Yeah, I would have to say it's true just because there was no real gaps of struggle for that team all season.
Yes,
yeah.
You are correct.
Oh.
And, of course, one of those four losses was a game I went to and attended, but that's okay.
What a way to get yourself into the actual question.
Hey, I did go to a game they won with Porzingis.
Is that because I mentioned I've been to Big Night Live and because that's where Arkin and Hart were? Is that what that about?
Question number five. There's also a Bruins game tonight, KJ. Jeremy Swayman, they paid a lot of money to him. True or false, he is top 10 so far this year in goals against average.
Oh, yeah, because I think one game was, what, 4, then another game, 3. Backup still has the highest goal against average.
So,
false.
Yes, it is false. He's 25th. So
wow.
I know it's early, and I think he'll be a lot better, but not ideal for the guy who just paid a lot of money.
So
and the defense has been bad, Zach.
This
correct.
Would be the night to start Portisolo when nobody's watching.
Yeah. You're down in Nashville, right? Hasn't Nashville not won yet, too?
They haven't won a game.
Yeah, Nashville's 0-5.
They're putting up the banner back at home. This is, kind of fire the head coach while the Red Sox are doing their parade. It's KJ and Lyons continuing the Celtics talk next, up to tip off around 7:20, 25. Thank you so much for hanging out on WEEI.